Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. The world is slowly opening up again. That means we could soon get back to face-to-face networking and social gatherings. It could also mean you could encounter new people, people you have absolutely nothing in common with. So how do you connect with them? And how do you avoid awkward conversations? Well, tonight, we have an interesting conversation about that. And here to help us are Deborah Owens, founder of Corporate Alley Cat, and Charmel McMillan, author and president and CEO of Shartown Entertainment, a sports and entertainment management company. This is a perfect time for you to give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tweet me at HFisherWHUR or follow me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. All right. Hey, Charmel, how are you?
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing just fine, thank you. Deborah, how are you, Deborah?
Harold, I am great, and I'm bummed that we can't be in the studio together.
That's all right, but you know, you sound just as vibrant, just as effervescent as always.
Thank you.
So let's get this conversation started. Okay, so Deborah, I'm going to start with you. Can you first of all give me an example of when I might come across someone with whom I have nothing whatsoever in common, but still need to talk to them, still need to connect with them?
Sure. I think, as you know, I'm the founder and CEO of the Corporate Alley Cat, and we work with helping professionals of color navigate the corporate environment. So on a daily basis, I talk to people, I'm working with organizations, and a big part of that is building relationships. So oftentimes people feel like there are people that they need to know or people who need to know them, but how do you make that connection? Because people feel like they have nothing in common with that person. And I strongly disagree with that.
Why?
Excuse me?
Why do you disagree with that?
Well, I think that if you're working at the same organization, you have something in common. If you're working on the same project, you have something in common. If you are all sharing the same organizational goals and experiencing the same organizational culture, you have something in common. If you have been living in the United States for the last year and you've been under lockdown on a pandemic, you have something in common. So I think sometimes the focus is on what we don't have in common instead of what we do have in common. You have a family, you have kids, you're single, you're married, you're divorced, you're tired. We have lots of things in common.
Did you say you're tired?
Yeah. Don't you have days when someone says to you, Harold, how are you feeling? You're like, oh, it's been a long day, I'm tired. And that other person is saying, me too, you won't believe what I've had to do today. That's a connection. And that's an authentic connection.
Okay, so these are people, as you said, the commonalities are there. But what about people that perhaps you are meeting for the first time?
Oftentimes in the workplace, you are meeting people for the first time. If you're in a large organization, or even if you're in a smaller organization, it's easy to stay in your little bubble with the people you work with every day. Where people struggle, particularly in the corporate environment, is getting out of their comfort zone and reaching out to people that they don't know, right? To build a new connection, because if you stay in that bubble and you don't meet new people, you're not getting any new information, you're not getting any new perspective, and you're missing out on something that's critical, at least I think in the workplace, which is, how do things get done in this organization? And if you're not connecting and meeting and hearing about different people's perspectives and experiences, you're missing out on a lot of valuable information. And not having that information can cost you time, and it can also cost you money.
Yeah, sounds, I hear you on that. Now, Charmel,
now I have your interest.
Charmel, it obviously, in your career field, in your profession, sports figures, entertainment figures of every stripe,
yes,
are quite abundant. And for the regular working stiffs like me, if you...
You're not regular, Harold. Aren't you a Morgan State alum?
I most certainly am.
I so... am also. We are not regular. We both Morgan State Bears. We are not regular.
Okay, I stand corrected. With that, you know, with that said, you know, short of encountering some of the people who may be starstruck or who may be fans, what's a good icebreaker? How do you start a conversation with someone that you need to connect with, that you need to associate with, that you normally would not encounter running into the grocery store in your community?
Well, for me, I'm a firm believer that we're first human, so we always have something in common. There's happy, sad, human emotions. We all experience life experiences, life, death. There's always some commonality in terms of what people experience. And so I'm in the industry, but I'm not of the industry, meaning my relationships are extremely organic. I have thousands of them, but they happened organically. And so I say approach people that you don't know as well as people in the industry the same way you would approach anyone else. Hello is the first part. Just say hello and maybe compliment them on something that you like or even something that you notice about their persona. I think that it's more important the energy that you exude and how people feel in your presence than really what you're saying sometimes, because people always remember how they felt around you, not necessarily what you said.
Mm. What would you suggest for an icebreaker, Deborah?
Oh, for an icebreaker, I always believe lead with something honest. I think sometimes people get caught up in small talk, kind of like I hate small talk, because they're talking about stuff they don't want to talk about, that they're not interested in. But I don't know Charmelle, but she just said that you and her both went to Morgan State.
Yes.
I went to Howard University. There's a connection right there.
Or a rivalry.
Yeah, we're rivals.
Really? There's a rivalry? I don't know about that.
But, you know, never be a basketball game where we're not in fight mid-court
right
before halftime.
Right. So, I like she talked about energy, and I think that's so important. Like, she has great energy. If I was someplace and we've never met before, but I heard that she was over in a room or she was in a corner someplace, I would go over and say, hey, I don't know if you remember, but we were on the Daily Drum together, right? Mm. So something authentic. I can't tell you, Harold, how many conversations I have with other black women because I wear natural hair. I can be anywhere, an important business meeting, in the doctor's office, pumping gas, and we're going to talk about hair. And that's a great opener, right?
Yeah.
I talk to people who I don't have things in common with because I want to know what's going on. I don't have children, so I want to know how the homeschooling is going, right? So I
don't have children either.
Right. So don't you want to know what's going on? How's the homeschooling?
How
are your kids handling it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So see, Charmelle and I are almost best friends.
I see. 202.
I'm going to call her after this is over. Exactly.
Well, you'll have to call me first, but so we can talk about Morgan. But anyway, 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about icebreakers, talking to people with whom you have absolutely nothing whatsoever in common, people that you need to connect with, whether it be a social setting, whether it be a professional setting, whether it be perhaps in your community. How do you connect with them? Again, the number is 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You're certainly welcome to tweet me at HFisherWHUR or follow me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. So here's the thing, and Deborah, you just spoke about something. For example, you spoke about hair and natural hair, but to me, that scenario is easy. The natural hair, yeah, that's easy. Let's talk about something that is really, you know, much more difficult. Suppose you need to connect with someone who doesn't have natural hair, indeed does not have hair that is for, you know, a person of color. Say, you know, you're a black woman with natural hair, and you need to connect with Frank, who is white, who has straight blonde hair, who is from a different part of the area, or not from the area at all, who you went to an HBCU. Frank did not go to an HBCU.
Right.
You have absolutely nothing in common. You may be a progressive. Frank may be a Trump supporter. How do you connect with someone where there are just no obvious connections at all?
I have a great example for you, Harold. When all of this started with George Floyd and the Black Lives Matter movement, I had someone that I had met at an organization who was a client of mine. He was an older white male. We had met once. And I was interested in finding out how some of the white males were, their perspective on what was going on, particularly for those who lead organizations. And I sent him an email. And I just said, the subject line was, time to talk. I said, hey, let's just call him Tom. Hey, Tom, wanted to reach out. There's a lot that's happened since the last time we talked. I'd love to get your perspective on the social injustice, Black Lives Matter, and what's going on today. Are you available to get together to talk?
And then you looked and you saw Tom running to the parking lot.
No, you know what I found? And I've done this with a couple of people. I would call them white males who are leaders in organizations. So I may not normally run into them. And what I found is just the opposite. They're dying to talk about it. In an environment that feels kind of safe. Because one of the things that, you know, I've learned from some of these people that I've talked with is they're like, I don't know what to do. I've learned that, you know, sometimes they don't say anything because they're fearful of saying the wrong thing, that they want to know my perspective, that they're eager to hear about my experiences, that they want to know what they can do. And these weren't very soft, fluffy conversations. Sometimes they were really honest on both parts. And I remember one of our conversations where I said, you can do more. I said, you're the leader. You can do more.
Let me go to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about talking to people, connecting with people with whom you have absolutely nothing in common. How do you do it? How do you avoid awkward situations? Kathy, calling from D.C., thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Oh, my pleasure. I think that, first of all, we all have something in common. If you're breathing, you have something in common. We share experiences. Our bodies work the same ways. You can always find something to talk about with someone. And I think everyone should be challenged to push themselves. When I was growing up, you know, actually, I'm an introvert by nature. But no one who knows me believes that. Because I can go anywhere, talk to anyone. I mean, I'm a lifelong Democrat. Not too long ago, I went to a Republican rally and met some new friends while jamming to YMCA. You know, you can always meet people where you work, where you live. You just have to address something, a common issue. It could be the weather. You know, it could be that, okay, it's cold. Why does it feel like winter today? And spark conversations. And just spread your joy. Joy is infectious. And you can always find something to talk about.
Kathy, thank you so much for that. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tanya, quickly, calling from Fairfax, Virginia. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I was just calling because I'm like I told your person there, I'm a DJ. I work in like an office environment as an accountant by day. And I even changed jobs during COVID. So I've, you know, have met so many new people at my new job. And I mean, you just talk to people like they're people. I never think of like she was saying, a white man or a black man or a purple man. I don't think of people like that. I actually just talk to people as people. And I meet like at least 100 people in like a month. I meet at least 100 new people. And most often they'll talk to me for the very first time. I can talk to you and you'll think I'm your best buddy, that we've been knowing each other forever.
Uh-huh.
And it's just been like that for my whole life. So I just don't understand, you know. I know it's really hard for introverts to do it, but I'm like an extreme extrovert. But even at that point, I mean, some days, you know, you go into a place where you don't know anybody. Like when I go to other venues that I'm not the DJ, I have to somehow, you know, make my way through it. And I meet all the new people. And before I leave, I know everybody. Well, I even went to an island for 5 days and I thought I'd lived there for 20 years.
How about that? Well, Tanya, thank you so much for your input. We've got a lot of folks who want to get in on this conversation. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2. Make sure you download the app on your smartphone and the Quiet Storm Station 98.3 FM. The program can be heard in its entirety. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. This discussion continues in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we are talking about connecting with people with whom you have absolutely nothing in common. Nothing at all. You're from different places, different races. You're tall. They're short. You're an only child. They come from large families. How do you connect with these people professionally? How do you connect with them socially if it is a must that you connect with them? Well, my guests are Deborah Owens, founder of Corporate Alley Cat, and Charmel McMillan, author and president and CEO of Shartown Entertainment, a sports and entertainment company. If you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Okay, so we have already heard from two people, one who is admittedly gregarious, one who says she is an introvert. Don't believe it. She said, I wouldn't. Right. I don't. But then you have some people who are just really, really introverted. They're very, very shy. They would prefer not to interact. And doing this is truly a task, Charmel. Yeah. So how do they, what, give me some do's and some absolute don'ts.
Okay, well, let me first say that I could relate totally to, I believe it was Kathy, the first caller, who said she's a total introvert. Believe it or not, even though I've talked to people for a living, for 26 years I've been in business, I'm a total introvert. But I speak, I'm interviewed daily. So I had to, one, I know that whatever I'm speaking about is impactful, or there's a reason they're interviewing me or speaking with me or introducing themselves. I would also like to add to when you were talking about icebreakers, I think I neglected to say that people love talking about themselves. If you yes. can initiate a conversation about something about them, whether it's where they're from or what they like to do, they're subject matter experts on themselves. So that will get most people going because they love to talk mm-hmm. about themselves, and life will carry on from there. I also wanted to say that I believe it was Kathy that said people are just people. They really are. I interact with so many different people from different walks of life, and now with the onset of Clubhouse, which I was dragged onto, mm-hmm. I've been meeting people all over the world. I mean, I have an interview tonight with a woman from Malaysia about an hour after this interview, and I had someone from South Africa last week, and so I'm meeting people from all over the world, and the synergy that happens simply because you're on this app. And you might be talking about one subject, it opens up into a whole relationship of things you have in common or different perspectives. And so, one, people are people. If you're an introvert, if you're shy, ask the person about themselves. Get them talking first, and then you'll find something in common to relate on. It might be, you know, I've met people from my hometown, my mom's hometown, you know, inadvertently letting them talk about themselves. So for people who are shy, ask one question and push play. Most people will start talking, and you can join in where you feel like it.
Mm. You mentioned a do, but what about a don't?
Oh, I'm very big on body language, looking at the small details. Some people don't want to talk. So if their body language is maybe they're not quite facing you or they're short with their answers, they may not want to talk. So be very sensitive to body language, the unspoken signals that someone may not be open to having a wide conversation with you. Then other times people, a smile, things of that nature may, you know, pull you in. But I'd say pay attention to people's body language and the unspoken things that they do. And, you know, just be sensitive.
Mm. Deborah, do's and don'ts for you?
Yeah, I think this is something that comes up a lot. You have people who are introverts, and they are not going to be the life of the party, nor do they want to be the center of attention. But I think in those cases, what you can do is have more one-on-one interactions. So people that I work with who are introverts, well, maybe you're not going to share your idea in a large group setting. But that doesn't mean that if you feel more comfortable in more intimate spaces or one-on-one, that you can't meet with people that way. And I think on the flip side, sometimes you have people who are kind of extrovert or very gregarious, and sometimes they find it difficult to connect with someone who's an introvert, right? Because they're looking for someone who's going to return that same energy. And sometimes they may mistake that as that person's not interesting, they weren't engaged, but sometimes it takes people a little bit of time to warm up. And so when I, whether it's to our Shamel's point, if it's body language or they share that with me, one of the things I do is then I don't try to get to know them in a large group. I do smaller groups or one-on-one to give us some time to build that relationship. Mm. And then you will see that people open up. So yes, there are people who are introverts who do have a hard time. And I say, find your comfort zone. If you're not one who loves being in the center of attention or sharing your thoughts in large groups, then share in small groups. But by the same token, if you're an extrovert, I think be respectful of different styles. Everybody communicates differently, right? And give them some space to operate in an environment or a setting that works best for them. And so some of the people that I work with who are introverts, I may not call a meeting initially of 8 people. We may just have a one-on-one conversation. And then when we have the larger group, I may pull out things that I know that they want to talk about or they may be passionate about. So that's what I would say. Don't force someone to have to communicate with you in your style all the time.
Hmm. May I insert the difference between introverts and extroverts? A lot of times people think that introverts are super quiet and extroverts are super loud. It's really how we process energy. Mm-hmm. Introverts internalize and they process things internally. They bring people into their world. Most of my national comedians, and I've worked with over 300 of them, are introverts. They pull people into their world instead of looking for that energy to come, you know, instead of going into that the other person's energy, you know what I'm saying? And instead of giving that off, they pull you into their world. So now you're a part of what they're thinking, what they're processing, and that's where the exchange really happens. People mistakenly think that they're feeding totally off of the energy of the crowd. No, they're controlling the energy in the room.
Mm. Let me go back to the phone lines real quick. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Jasmine calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. I was calling because I worked for many years as a recruiter. Mm-hmm. So I had the privilege of trying to really connect with people on a very limited, short span of time. One thing that I did, which I hate to give away my secrets, but one thing I would do is almost speak on something that was completely opposite of what I was looking to get information on. Really being able to care about the person that I'm speaking with, and almost get on their level. Once I was able to do that, I could slowly steer the conversation towards what I was looking to gain from it.
Could you give me an example of that, Jasmine? Because I'm not clear about the technique or the strategy that you are employing.
Sorry, I didn't hear the first part.
I said, give me an example, please, because I'm not clear about the technique or strategy that you're employing.
Sure. So if we're sitting down having a conversation, I may want to get some information on where they previously worked. So I want to know, I want to know the name of the person that they work for. Now, most people aren't necessarily going to just divulge that information, but as I start the conversation, I may ask something. It could be superficial, whether it's, I really like your outfit, and then just navigate the conversation to, where did you work? Tell me about that.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Please continue.
Sorry. One of your experts mentioned that people really enjoy talking about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So once you get started and they end up just spilling and talking about themselves, it's a little easier to connect with them.
Hmm. Okay. Well, Jasmine, thank you for that. I appreciate your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. So, Deborah, I have a question for you, because I remember this was years ago, and this disturbs me still to this day. I was at, kind of a little house gathering. Everyone there I knew in varying degrees. Everybody was black. And there were probably, about six of us. And an issue came up that was just head snapping. It was a what the what? Because I made a comment about spending time with your coworkers after work, getting to know them and fostering better relations with them. And I was the only one in the room who even considered that. Almost everyone in the room said, I don't want to spend any time with those people. And I, my eyes kind of popped open, and then I continued the conversation. I said, well, I'm talking about just small talk and, just kind of sharing a little bit, what part of town you live in. And I remember one guy said, they don't need to know where I live. And I'm just, what is that? And how dangerous is that for someone who is on a career path, or maybe with that attitude, they're not on a career path? Help me with that, Deborah. I mean, that was years ago, and it still drives me crazy.
That's the part.
Yeah, it sounds like you're still traumatized.
I really am.
Yeah, because you were opening up.
I was like, what's wrong with you people?
So one of the things that I will say is, and I think we've probably talked about that on your show, is that in the workplace, people want to know who they're working with. They want to get to know you.
But they don't need to get to know me.
They want to connect with you.
They don't need to connect with me, Deborah.
So sometimes, I'm going to tell you a common conversation. I have people who say, I don't trust anybody at work.
Right.
I went on a vacation, and they wanted to know, where did I go? Well, they're asking every Monday, they want to know, what did I do over the weekend? Why are they trying to get all in my business?
Right.
They don't need to know what I did over the weekend. And this was my take on it. I'm like, they're just trying to get to know you. Right? People are looking for ways to connect with you on different levels outside of work.
Yes.
They're not asking for your bedroom secrets. They're like, hey, did you have a great weekend? Maybe you like to bike, or you're a runner, or you like to spend time with your family. Those are points of connection. And one of the things that we talk about a lot at the Corporate Alley Cat is oftentimes
particularly with my audience, people say, you know, I just want to go to work and go home.
Right.
I don't want to have drinks with people. I don't need to get to know them. Well, I'm not saying it's dangerous, but are you putting yourself at a disadvantage? Yes. Because when people get to know you, they open up to you. When you're sitting at an after work meeting, and I know a lot of people say, well, I don't drink. I don't drink either, but that's not the point. Have a ginger ale. The point is you're connecting. You're getting to connect with people in a different way, in a different element. People will open up. And quite honestly, that's where you find out a lot of the stuff that's going on. I might find out that Char is working on a new project. It hasn't been announced yet, but she's doing X, Y, and Z. Or that Harold's about to bring on some new people for a new project he's working on. These things may not be in the public domain, but when you're sitting down talking one-on-one in a more relaxed environment, you learn about these things, and you can become a part of those things if you choose to often. And you also just get to know, you know, who is that person? Where are they from? What do you have in common? What are they passionate about? And you can make what I think a really genuine, authentic connection point. And those can continue in the workplace. And I think with my audience, one of the things that we talk about is that getting to know people in the workplace or building relationships, it's not extra. It's a part of your job.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes people think it's this extra thing, and it's really not. And on the flip side, what I say is that when you get to know people and you learn more about them and what they do in the organization and who they are, you learn more about how the organization operates. A lot of people, and I don't want to get into office politics, but a lot of people kind of get into this and say, oh, that's office politics. It's a dirty word. It's manipulative and it's transactional and all of that kind of stuff. And I try to encourage people to kind of reframe it and think of it's just how do things get done in your organization. And you need to know people in different places to understand that.
Sure.
I'm not saying it's dangerous, but are you at a disadvantage? Absolutely.
Charmel?
Yeah, I just wanted to add to what Deborah was saying. There's a different mindset. I was giggling when you were describing it, Harold, because before I was an entertainment exec, I was a professional engineer, and I majored in engineering at Morgan. I didn't want to engage, and there's a difference between making a living, establishing a career, and creating a lifestyle. Now I engage for a living. Now I have interest in what people are doing. Now I have interest in connecting with people and building lasting relationships because I am in my zone. I am in my lane. Some people are going to work and just making a living. And some people are really trying to establish a career, really trying to engage and develop deeper connections. And then you have that person sitting there like me at 22 years old, just out of undergrad, working on my master's degrees. I don't want to talk to y'all. First of all, I'm not giving you my home number. Second of all, don't call me after work. And so that's not where I wanted to be.
I think you were at that same party.
Not talking to me in this meeting.
You were probably in the other room at that party.
I was like, yes, let's not talk to him.
And now, what do you suggest, Charmel, for when you're talking one-on-one with someone and there is that awkward silence?
When you're talking to one-on-one and there's an awkward silence, like I said, I am so keen on looking at people's eyes and discernment in my professional life as well as my personal life, and I read energy very well. Some people choose not to, or some people are more focused on what they want to say instead of listening, you know. And so I'm always listening and trying to make it a mutual exchange where I'm actually receiving what you're saying and processing it. I'm not waiting to speak, and there's a difference in that communication style. If there's an awkward silence, there's nothing wrong with silence occasionally. Sometimes you're just right there in your thoughts. And if the silence goes on too long, find an out. Like, well, maybe we can connect later. I would love to continue speaking with you later. And move on. You know, but I have friends, some of my best friends, you know, are entertainers, and we sit in the green room. We aren't saying anything. There's nothing exciting at all happening before they go on stage, and we're okay with the silence.
Yeah, but those are people you have something in common with. I mean, you just said they're best friends, so best friends don't always have to talk. But I'm
if it's a stranger.
Yeah, I'm specifically talking about strangers. And to that point, Deborah said something, Charmel, that really touched me earlier, and I wanted to go back to that through my own experience with a coworker, and this goes to, you know, black stuff, you know, you know where you are as a black person in a setting where you are a minority.
Right.
And this is, you know, this had to do with my co-anchor when I was in Buffalo, New York. Now, we never met each other before. And to her, she was completely different from me. Obviously, you know, I'm a man. She's a woman. I'm black. She was white. I'm from the D.C. metro. She was from the suburbs of Buffalo. She went to Niagara University. I went to Morgan State and HBCU. We could not have been more different. But there were two points. When we first met, because the relationship was so important, that on my first day, I reported to work, and she said, "Come with me. Let's talk." That's the best icebreaker of all. But we went into the news director's office, and she said, "I'm going to take Harold with me." And we went to a rooftop cafeteria, and we literally talked for 4 hours.
Wow.
And she, you know, immediately became one of the most wonderful people on the planet, and she really, really is. But the other thing was, and this is the point about race, she was raised in a completely white community, literally no minorities. And even as we got to know each other, after we would get off the air, we would go and sit behind the television station in this kind of open area, and she would ask me black stuff. That's the only way that I can describe it.
Mm-hmm.
To her credit, you know, she asked the questions with grace and intelligence. But I think it's also important, and this goes back to what Deborah was talking earlier, that let's talk thing, that I think that it is incumbent when someone genuinely wants to know about your life, your culture, where you're from, that you not take offense and you listen to the question and you answer with equal amounts of grace and intelligence and based on what you know and your experience.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I would totally agree with that. And I think something that I had this discussion actually on Clubhouse with a gentleman who is from Canada. And so clearly we had varying backgrounds, you know, the people in the room. It was a small nucleus of us. I am all for celebrating your differences, learning your differences, educating people on your differences, exchanging ideas. It somehow feels like nails on a chalkboard to me when someone says, "I don't see race." And the person made kind of the misstep of saying that in a room of mostly 5 or 6 black people, and they poked into the room on Clubhouse. Mm-hmm. And I said to them, I said, "I understand your sentiment." I said, "But it is impossible that you don't see color unless you're colorblind." I said, "You know I'm a black woman. You see my smile. You see my teeth are white as opposed to yellow. You see I have long hair instead of short. Tell me you don't see those differences." And so he said, "I see it. Then you see color also. It's okay to celebrate color, but don't pretend that there are no differences, because now you dismiss each of our experiences, our life experiences, by saying you don't see it. You do see it. We have different experiences, different backgrounds, different things we bring to the table. It could be an amazing relationship conversation if you would just acknowledge that we're different and celebrate those, educate yourself, learn, ask questions," as Harold alluded to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Harold, I just wanted to say something when you were talking about the awkward silence, because I think this is really important. Sometimes what we consider an awkward silence doesn't necessarily have to be an awkward silence, right? to what Sharmell was saying about where people get their energy, right? So extroverts get their energy usually from other people. I know I do, introverts internally. And sometimes what we consider an awkward silence isn't necessarily an awkward silence. Some people just take more time to process. And so you have to give them that time. And I can tell you, there's a couple of people that I know, and literally when I'm talking to them, I just, you know, literally start counting because I know they're not finished, that they may say something and then they may stop. That's not a time for me to jump in. There's still more that's going to be coming, right? And so that to me is the part of the flexing, is that give people the time that they need. And if you are good at reading people, you know that some people just need a minute to process before it comes out. And then there are some times where things are just really weird and you can and you may need to leave the situation. But an awkward silence is not always an awkward silence. And a silence is not a bad thing,
yeah.
Right?
Well,
and sometimes I think when we're talking about, particularly like in the workplace, particularly when we're having difficult conversations, oftentimes we may bring up a topic that may be uncomfortable to the other person who we've asked that question to. And oftentimes we want to jump in almost like to rescue them or maybe to rescue ourselves because they're uncomfortable with that silence. And I say, let the silence hang sometimes. If it's uncomfortable, let it be uncomfortable because some conversations just are.
Mm. Can you, in these last couple of minutes, and I'll start with, you know, Sharmell, talk about the importance of listening. And I often say that I try to listen with my whole self. And depending on, you know, the situation. But some people are not good at, they can hear what is being said or shared or experienced in the moment, but they're not really listening or not really paying attention. How do you teach detailed informational gathering listening skills, Sharmell?
I really think that is a skill that has to be practiced. And like I said a few minutes ago, far too many people listen to be heard. You know, they're waiting for the opening so I can say what I want to say. They didn't process anything that the other person said. One of the skills might be active listening. Maybe after the person finishes speaking, repeat it and ask if you understood them correctly, or even paraphrase it and ask if you understood them correctly. Is that what you meant when you said? That begins to add a sense of inclusion as well as an exchange of ideas as opposed to just getting your point across. They're just waiting for an opening. They're waiting for you to take a breath so they can say what they want to say, and that's their daily. So they walk away with absolutely nothing from the conversation. They haven't been listening and taking it in at all, you know? And so to take on the mindset of, I want to learn something about this person when I get up, or by the time this conversation is over, I want to feel more fulfilled in terms of, you know, how much I know about this person, how much I can appreciate about this person, and what their perspective is. If you take on that mindset, it will slow you down from just waiting for the opening to say what you think.
Deborah?
Yeah, I think what you said, Harold, about listening to your whole body, and, you know, I think you are listening to what people are saying, and you're also listening to what people aren't saying. You are listening to the inflection, the body movement, the actual, you know, some people do weird things sometimes, like bouncing legs, or, you know, some people are very energetic and talking with their hands. So you're listening to all of that, and sometimes I'm looking to see if all of that connects. It's kind of like,
what do you mean by that? That's interesting. What do you mean by that?
Well, have you ever asked somebody a question and the words they say are yes, but their head and all of their body language says no?
Mm.
Right?
Yes. Interesting.
That happens. Why are you asking? I mean, that happens a lot.
Yeah. A comedic stereotype just popped in my head, and, you know, and certainly I would not repeat it, even though it was something that a comedian said, but it really makes sense. Yes. So,
and I would say, when I used to recruit, and even when I interviewed people, sometimes people would talk and I wouldn't say anything. And that was, I don't say it was a technique, but sometimes if you listen, you'll be surprised what people will tell you.
Yeah, yes, even on this show.
Yeah. If you just let people talk. And sometimes that comes because they can't take the silence. That's, so they'll just keep rambling.
Yes, that's true. But the other point that you did say, when someone says one thing and their reaction is often silence, that speaks volumes. But even trying to interpret that silence can be difficult because people are practicing poker faces, so you don't know what they're saying or not saying. Lots to work with. I tell you, Charmel McMillan, Deborah Owens, good to talk to you both. Thank you so much. Good to connect with both of you.
Thank you for having me.
I'm going to connect with you.
Absolutely.
Please do, and I'm going to connect with Harold and you. And so I look forward to speaking with you all again in the future.
There you go.
Yeah. Harold, stay safe.
You too.
It's great talking with you.
Always.
Thank you so much for having me, Harold. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That is The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141 for this Friday, April 16th. For News Director Renee Nash, reporters Millette Green, Bramante Bryan, producer Candace Atkins, and engineer Bobby Adams, I'm Harold Fisher. Now stay tuned for Unheard with Wes Hall. Good night, and have a wonderful weekend.